And we are back, friends of Quack. How are you doing? Quack, 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 quack 12. You know, I think that we should, this is going to sound sacrilegious, but hello, this is Adam Tramiel. This is another episode of Quack 12, but back to my point, I think we should get rid of the oh that we say at games for two reasons. One, Ohio State says it, and fuck them. And two, it's just, quack, it's so much cooler. I mean, we already have this symbiotic relationship with Disney, right? Why, I mean, can't we just take that too? We won't get sued, right? Anyways, welcome everybody. So holy shit, guys, the Eclipse. That was crazy. And just some more proof that Oregon is the best stretch of land in this here United States and possibly this here world. We got the path of totality in Oregon. Totality. Thank you. And that was awesome. Did you see it, Aaron?
I did see it.
What'd you think, man?
I thought it was probably the greatest moment of my entire life.
I know that you are not even exaggerating, because it was up there for me, too. It was so, oh, man, it looked like Dune. It looked like you were on Dune all of a sudden.
This is the only way that I can actually equate it.
Okay.
It was, what, like a minute 46 totality in Oregon? Is that the truth?
Felt like years, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Those, let's just say 2 minutes, were completely worth the 11 hours of traffic I drove home in.
Man, you had 11 hours?
I did.
That's terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah, I got invited down to Malala for some, to hang out with
that
some.
That is,
yeah.
That's Malala, a Disney Oregon movie, dude. You were invited down to a Disney movie, Malala?
Malala. No. Yeah, it's a wonderful little town. I went to a rodeo there once.
Rodeo.
Hung out with some true Duck fans. And yeah, we celebrated it in the way of Ken Kesey, if you catch my drift, you know, in the way of Easy Rider, huh?
You know what I mean? I get it. Yeah, I get
it. In the way that Bill Walton celebrates a Wednesday. See, you probably don't get that one.
Yeah, who's Bill Walton?
That is a discussion for later. We will have a whole episode on Bill Walton, I promise you.
Okay.
But anyways, man, I looked, right? I know you're not supposed to, but I looked right into that eclipse.
Oh, my God.
I looked dead into it for about 10 minutes.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. Listen to my voice. Listen to me.
Wait.
Hold on. I looked right into it, and I saw something, Aaron. Something spectacular.
What'd you see?
I saw 10-2. And that's what we're doing this regular season, Aaron. 10-2. I can't explain it. I don't know who we're going to win, who we're going to beat, who we're going to lose to. But
wait.
I saw it. I can't explain it. We're going 10-2.
Wait, but if memory serves,
yeah,
didn't last episode you were like saying it was going to be like 2-10?
I don't think so. I would never
you
say that about my precious
Ducks. You had them losing so many
Ducks
games.
Hey, all I know is I looked dead into that sun, and I saw that we're going to win 10 games, all right?
No more questioning.
Okay. Let's get to games. We got games, man. Football's actually coming this Saturday. We barely got this episode under the wire, but holy shit. And so I thought this would be a good time for an experiment. So I obviously have been watching college football for, I don't know, I think I've been an avid fan for 8 years, probably. And you are not a fan, and you haven't watched any games. So I was thinking,
okay,
I'm going to tell you who's playing.
Okay.
You are going to predict the winner.
I love it.
I'm not going to give you any information.
No information.
We're going to write, I'll get the many, many, many interns we have here to write all that down.
Great idea.
And then I'm going to break it down and give my predictions. And I think we should just keep doing this, and we should see you as the best total at the end of the season.
Okay. Are we going to put anything on the line?
Are we our souls. Our souls.
Oh. Oh, no big deal. Okay, great. I totally got this.
All right. And so there's I think, like, I don't know, 8 or 9 games officially. But I'm only going to be focusing, of course, on teams that have anything to do with the Ducks, even if it's remotely.
Are those the only games that I get to predict on?
It'll be basically, there's only going to be a certain amount of games that we focus on this show. It'll be all Pac-12 games.
Okay.
And then if there's another game where, say, UCF is a team in Florida, and their coach used to be, Scott Frost, used to be the offensive coordinator for Oregon. So I be like, choose that game.
Cool. I'm glad to know that information.
Yeah. And I'm glad the listeners know it too. Yeah. All right. So we're going to start off with Hawaii versus UMass, University of Massachusetts. And I will tell you this.
These aren't Oregon Duck games.
No. But I don't.
Okay. I see what we're doing.
Okay. So hold on. And I'm going to give you a little more information about them. Barely any.
Okay.
Hawaii, they're the Rainbow Warriors.
Ooh, man, I love that name.
I know. And the University of Massachusetts, they're the Minutemen.
Okay. That's weird.
Who's winning that game?
I'm going to go with... I think the Minutemen are going to take it, unfortunately.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Going to the next game.
All right.
So we got Stanford,
yep,
a school I'm sure you've heard of,
mm-hmm,
versus Rice.
Now, if I remember correctly,
yeah,
Stanford is in New Haven, correct?
No.
Duh. Okay.
Stanford is in California.
And who's my other place?
Rice. I'm actually not even sure where they're from, which is kind of embarrassing. I think they're a Big Ten team. But, I mean, I don't need to know that. They're not Oregon.
I've gotten you to give me more information than I think you wanted to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's way more. So, Stanford versus Rice. Who's going to win?
Stanford.
Okay. University of Southern Florida versus San Jose.
Would that be the Gators?
No. University of Southern Florida would be the Bulls.
And, okay. But I'm and telling then what's you the name of the other team? I don't get to know the names of these.
Oh, San Jose. Okay. San Jose Trojans. I'm just honestly a little nervous.
Versus the Trojans.
Yeah.
The Bulls.
All right. Portland State, I believe they're the Vikings, versus BYU Cougars.
I'm going to go with the Mormons on this one.
All right.
I think it's going to be the Cougars.
Okay. You think too many IPAs for the PSU team?
Didn't even put it into play. I just decided to go with the Mormons. Yeah.
Oregon State versus Colorado State.
Oh, okay. I think that'll be Colorado State, Bob.
All right. That's actually you inadvertently... Or maybe geniusly chose a lot of the teams I would have, actually. Let me break it down for a little bit.
Okay.
So Hawaii versus UMass, of course, the Rainbow Warriors versus the Minutemen.
Yeah.
Which it's like, in my head, I kind of like to picture that battle. Like whatever a Rainbow Warrior is, just some psychedelic.
They're
awesome.
Beautiful.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Completely beautiful. There's like two beautiful fight versus some colonial dude.
Yeah. Not even that. I think of, like, the new definition of a Minuteman, who is, like, the worst person in the entire world.
Yeah. So I'm going with Hawaii in that one.
Right. But
also because Marcus Mariota, learn that name, Aaron. Marcus Mariota is a golden god from Hawaii. So I'm just going to choose that.
And is that a player?
Yes, he is our quarterback who won the Heisman Trophy, and that is a trophy that the best player gets in college football.
I knew that.
Okay.
I have a thing, too. Can I interrupt your predictions actually really quick just for one little
thing? Sure, sure.
So if I could go backwards to the eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
We were camping outside of Salem near Mill City, and I met someone down there. who had this joke that I would see, I would throw it at you and see how you take it.
Okay, let's hear it.
What? I guess the Oregon Ducks make a circle with their hand, correct?
Yes.
What does that stand for?
Oregon.
No. How many championships they've won.
Oh, ha, 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 ha.
Okay, sorry.
I've never heard that one, Aaron. Someone told you that? Who is this person?
They...
Give me their address after we're done recording. Anyways, back to the podcast. Ugh, don't you ever tell me that joke again.
Okay.
Stanford versus... Oh, we already said that. Whoopsies.
Nope, you didn't give your Stanford.
Oh, that's
you
what
gave
I was
your
going.
Hawaii.
I forgot what
you're
I was doing.
You're going with the Golden Warriors.
That's right. Stanford versus Rice. Basically, have you heard about that? I don't know. I don't like boxing or ultimate fighting or whatever. But have you heard the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather fight? You know, it's supposed to be super one-sided.
Is this a fight that's already happened?
Okay, so you don't know.
I don't.
Well,
know.
All I'm saying is this game is
going to be completely
one-sided.
Oh.
It's in Sydney, Australia.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
This is people in college football like to pretend like it's going to catch on in other countries. And every once in a while you hear, I mean, like, some other countries do have leagues there, but I think it's more of just a publicity stunt to get people interested in early games. I would love if other countries got into football enough
but
to get like
why,
a World Cup or something.
Why send two teams across the mm-hmm. world so that none of their fans could actually go see it? Or do people actually take those trips?
I bet you like some do, and then some Americans are just like, oh, football, I'll show up. But I don't know really who goes there. Anyway, Stanford's going to win. Yeah, they just have this, their strategy is just called this bell cow kind of strategy where it's just, you choose one player and you build all your offense around that player and basically the whole team around this player. They lost their bell cow last year and Christian McCaffrey. So people are hoping Bryce Love's going to do the same thing, but I don't know. Is he going to be able to catch it? Is he even going to be able to throw for touchdowns like Christian McCaffrey? Who knows? And then USF versus San Jose. USF is the old school, or is the last school of our current coach. And they have Quentin Flowers, mm-hmm. who last year ran for like 1,500 yards.
I feel like Clinton...
Quentin Flowers, yeah.
Quentin Flowers. I feel like he should play for Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. Yeah.
That seems better over there. They should do that trade.
Wasted opportunity. I'll get on that. And then, I'm going with USF. I really hope they just tear it up. Then PSU versus BYU. I mean, Portland State, I'd love if they could, but it's very unlikely. They did beat Washington State 2 years ago, but...
And if I'm correct,
mm-hmm.
that is Portland, Oregon, right? Not Portland,
yes,
Maine.
Yes, you are correct.
Okay.
You are correct.
So, the reason why I chose them to win
okay.
as well, because we both chose the same team, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The reason why I chose our team to win, the Mormons, is because I figured it would be crass to say that another Oregon team would actually win a game because we want just us to win.
Oh, let me. I'll on this next team. Let's talk about Oregon State. I think that'll actually drive this point home even better. So Oregon State versus Colorado State. This is the actual game to watch.
These are the Beavers.
That's right. The Oregon State Beavers from Corvallis, Oregon.
Yep.
My personal stance on this, and I believe this whole podcast personal stance, since you don't really care, is that I like the Oregon State Beavers. I like rooting for them. And my dream scenario is they go 11-0, the Ducks go 11-0, and in that final Civil War game of the year, we go undefeated, and that's what usually root for, which is controversial. That's a hot take in Oregon, let me tell you.
Is it? I figured that would be great.
Oh, you know, they're such old. I mean, they're 100-year-plus rivals. So there's, right. I mean, there's definitely some blood in between. But I got to say, I like rooting for the Beavers. And I'm going to be rooting for the Beavers against Colorado State, even though Colorado State seems to have a pretty damn good offense.
Who did I pick?
You picked Colorado State, which is the smart choice.
Ah.
So you actually went, and I believe they're 4-point underdogs, the Beavers are. Mm-hmm. But, oh, and an interesting thing about the Beavers is they basically, I am so bad at naming segments and stuff like this, but I'm trying to name their trio of running backs, which is Thomas Tyner, an ex-Oregon Duck.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Nall, who's this huge, like, wrecking ball of a running back who has been really good and just destroyed Oregon last year. And then, what is their third's name? Trevoris Johnson, I believe is his name.
TTRNTJ, baby.
That's right. And he played for TCU, which is the team that destroyed us in that terrible bowl game. So it's kind of this terrible three-headed beaver that will potentially wreck the Ducks in the Civil War. Now I'm sad. Let's go to break.
All right.
You ever got food at like 2:30 or 3 in the morning? It's usually a terrible decision, and it's usually terrible food. But what if I told you there was a place in Eugene, Oregon, where the food was a little better than mediocre and not such a terrible idea? Well, my friends, that place is Doco. For all your calzone needs, and after a late night of mischief, Doco.
In 3, 2, 1.
Man, they were really loud. We got to get these interns under control. Quack 12 in the morning. Or not in the morning. I mean, it's a podcast, so. Let's talk defense. Last time I forgot to talk about the defense, and I don't know why, because, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to sound preposterous, but I see a glimmer of hope in this Oregon Ducks defense. That's right. That is right. I don't think I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid. I really think that we can. I don't know what hope is when you come from a defense that was legitimately second to the worst, but I think maybe we can get it down to 30 points scored on us per game. Plausibly, which would be a huge step up. And so I want to go down my supposed loss roster here. It seems like most people online have about this, but one cool thing about Willie Taggart too is he's really been promoting competition, and so he's really keeping it under his hat who the starters are, unless it's obvious starters like Troy Dye, who was by far the best player on that defense last year. So let's start with the D-line. Actually, no, my favorite player is on the D-line, so I want to save that for last because I am so excited about that. So let's go linebacker. I was just talking about Troy Dye. He's a sophomore this year. He has moved to an inside linebacker position because Jim Leavitt has said he wants him to be more of a leader from that part of the field and to kind of shore up tackles and really focus on stopping that run game, something that we haven't been good at doing even really in the Mariota years. And so he's been a real vocal leader, and he seems to really want to be he's been interviewed a lot, and it seems like he really wants to be the face of the team. We also have Jonah Moy, who's a senior. He started every game last year, so that alone is good. And he seems to have improved. Justin Holland and Kaulana Apelu, who's also a junior, who and actually just got a scholarship. Even though he's a junior, he was actually a walk-on. And they did it in a cool way. They had his mom make a video, and they put it on the field during practice. And everyone said that he was really deserving of it. So I'm very happy about that. For cornerback, we have Arian Springs, who's a senior, and who was definitely – he's had an up-and-down career, but I think a lot of his downward time was – you can almost directly put it on Pelham and Hoke. I think the last two defensive coordinators really just honestly didn't know what they were doing. And Thomas Graham Jr., who's a freshman, highly rated, got here early on campus. And he has been the star from all these early practices so far. They say he's going to be a starter. They say that he's gotten the most interceptions he did in the spring game and in practice on average. He was actually covering Darren Carrington when he was still on the team before he got the DUI and was really doing well. All of a sudden our secondary actually seems to be a strong suit, especially with Khalil Oliver and Brady Breeze at safety. Which I guess that one, it's kind of hard to figure out because Rob Mosley, he writes the practice reports and he kind of has he gets paid for the university. So he's kind of got to make everyone look good. And so these two, the coaches say that they like what they're seeing, and Brendan Schuler got moved over to receiver. So you would assume that they like who they have at the safety position, or maybe we were just that desperate on receiver. That's kind of, I don't know, up in the air. Then we have the defensive line. We have Jalen Jelks, who's a junior, and people are saying they've seen him improve a lot and that all their strength has really improved. Henry Mondo, who's a senior, he also started every game last year. I've never really... Even though we were terrible last year, it certainly wasn't his fault. And then we have my favorite player on this roster, even though he hasn't played a single game, and that is Jordan Scott, a.k.a. Fat Mac. Now, this guy, he came in, I believe, I should have looked this up, but I believe he came in at 350 pounds from Florida.
He's huge.
Yeah, that's huge. Can you imagine being 18 and 350 pounds?
He's 18?
Well, he was 18 when he was 350. He's 18 or 19, yeah.
How tall is he?
I don't know. I should look. He doesn't seem super tall. I mean, he's called Fat Mac for a reason.
Yeah, not Big Mac.
Not Big Mac, Fat Mac. And the reason why I'm so, like, hyped on this guy is... he's a nose tackle in a 3-4, which we're going back to the 3-4, which is so good. I'll talk about that a little later. But the nose tackle position is basically you're right in the middle of the defensive line, and your job is either to stay put, like right where you are, or push forward and disrupt the defense. And they say that they asked him to drop 30 pounds, and he did it almost immediately. He's been one of the strongest players, and he's surprisingly fast for how fat he is. Sorry, shouldn't say fat, for how muscular and big he is.
It seems like he's just a huge brick of a person.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, one of the main reasons why I like fell in love with him was because his Twitter account, which is just the best, it's at Fat Mac, and it's a lot of it is him doing diving off diving boards, like doing backflips and stuff.
Oh, my God, that's so tight.
No, it's awesome. It shows you how athletic he is, like, even with his size. And the coaches, I think that's a safe one to say they legitimately see something in him. And that's a position that we've needed help in for a long time. And that is a summer coming on and just getting ridiculous amounts of training. So... yeah, and he seems really determined. He seems like a good influence on the team. So I'd really like to see him. So those are that's my projected starters. There's other players coming in, like Scott Pagano from...
Scott Pagano.
Pagano. I'm probably butchering that. I used to,
hey, it's Scott Pagano.
I used to always make fun of, or at least like laugh to myself hearing people talk like on the radio and stuff, try to say people, players' names. And now that I'm actually attempting to do it, it's like, oh.
You're like, oh, there's the pitfall.
It's torturous. I'll try, though. I really will try. So I believe it's Scott Pagano.
Scott Pagano.
And he came from Clemson, who just won the national championship. He wanted to be closer to home. And he plays the same position as Jordan Scott, though. And, yeah, I want him to start so bad.
Jordan Scott is our guy.
Yeah.
That's our guy.
Mm-hmm. That's our guy. Remember that name. Fat Mac.
I'm a big fan as well of Jesse Jorp, the junior.
Jesse Jorp? Do you have the roster up in there?
No, I don't. Was that his name?
Jesse Jorp, the junior? Jason Jelks?
Yeah, that's it. Jason Jelks, junior.
You're learning. I'm glad you're learning.
I'm going for it.
Oh, my. All right. So I got one more little topic for this second section here. And that's just, I wanted to reiterate the point that one of the main reasons why I'm excited, and I think we're going to immediately do better than at least 4-8 from last year, is because our coaches are better. Last year, even though Oregon had an awesome tradition of staying with these coaches and continue the continuity that was really rare, especially in a program their size, it kind of ended up being their downfall with Mark Helfrich not being able to even fire Don Pelham, which is harsh, but it's also a multi-million-dollar like industry. I mean, you need to be harsh sometimes. And after demoting Don Pelham, hiring Brady Hoke, who I pulled up a practice report about Brady Hoke this time last year when we were like, oh, let's see if he can help. Who knows? We're switching to a 4-3, which was always going to not work out, at least for that year. And it would have taken at least, I don't know, two, probably 3 years for him to build up his defense, which obviously we did not have the patience for. At this time last year, they were a week away from their first game. Brady Hoke said, we're a long way from being any kind of defense. It's like, fuck. The writing was on the wall there. Compared to Jim Leavitt right now, who, even though he's very caffeinated and ridiculously energetic, he also has a track record. He has a track record of like what he did with Colorado, a recent track record, and he was a good head coach other places too. And compared to Brady Hoke, who I believe they said the last defensive coordinator position he had was at high school, I think we're just, the whole team is in such better hands. And there's so many mistakes last year that could directly be pointed to bad schemes, not teaching players. And I think that the reason why this defense will be much improved is because from what I hear from practice reports, they're actually communicating. And there's quotes from the seniors and juniors on this squad that are saying, yeah, we weren't doing that last year almost at any point. And so I think we're in good hands, and who knows, maybe that wild 10-2 prediction I saw in the Flames will come true. Let's go to a commercial. Hey, Oregon Duck fans. This next commercial is for the best product that I know of. It's for me and this podcast. We just want to try to promote our Facebook page, our Twitter account, which honestly, I have no idea what Twitter is or how to use it. So if you could tweet me how to use Twitter, that'd be awesome. And we have a Squarespace page, which we're the only podcast not sponsored by Squarespace. And iTunes, please, 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 please Go on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars, please. What do you really care enough? Do you really hate this enough to rate us anything lower than a 5-star? Come on. And I've been talking to Willie Taggart himself, and he says that for every 5-star that I get on iTunes, we're going to get a 5-star recruit next year. And that is true. That is not a lie. And so please do that. And thanks for listening, you guys. This has been already so awesome. And it'll always be free. That being said, I've taken $100 from each of your accounts if you've downloaded this. It's a one-time fee that may be annual in the long run. Okay, back to the show.
Oh, that sounds great, Bobby. Oh, okay. Hold on, everybody. We're live in 3, 2...
So last we left off, our young coach, Cal Young, took us to our 100% winning season with one game in 1893. Well, he later left to become a farmer of the bean variety when our new coach, J.A. Church, came to lead us to a truly a different kind of undefeated season in a way, but it was a 100% defeated season where we didn't win a single game.
Out of how many games?
Out of 3 games.
Ooh.
Would you like to know the schools?
I would.
And the scores?
Was Albany one of them?
No. Do you know where Albany College was? What state it's in?
Oregon.
That's right. You are learning.
That's
right.
The game we won last year.
Last year? Yep.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So the first game was against Portland University.
Oh.
Do you remember their mascot? I said it earlier.
They're a beaver.
No, that's Oregon State. Portland State's the Vikings, I believe.
Oh,
I don't know. I'm actually
right.
Not even 100%. But they lost 0-12.
Were
Oregon
they the Vikings
did.
Back then? Have they always been the Vikings?
So you think I do that much research into this?
Oh.
That's interesting.
Oh, okay. Huh.
But then we played Oregon State. Do you know what their mascot is?
They are the Beavers.
Yeah. At the time, they were called Oregon Agricultural School, maybe. Again, this is terrible research.
Aggies. They were the Aggies.
They were the Aggies. They lost. Oregon lost 0-16.
Whoa.
And then we lost to Pacific. No, we tied Pacific College. You want to guess what the score was?
0-0.
That's right. So we had a season where we scored 0 points.
How does that go down exactly? Now, do you believe that we're still in the 4-point system of football, or have we graduated to the way we know it works today?
I don't know.
Because before you said 16, right, was our second game.
I honestly do believe we are still in the no passing. So passing is not allowed.
Uh-huh.
Frowned
upon. You just run it.
That's right. Or it was kind of closer to rugby.
I was about to say, do you kick it?
I think you could kick it. I don't know about that one. And I believe a touchdown was 4 points.
Yeah.
Do
you think they had 2-point conversions back then?
Hey, man, they had everything.
Yeah.
That's my answer to that.
That's what I like.
If you have any corrections, this is what I should start doing. Please email me.
No,
email
tweet.
Me.
Tweet.
No. Yeah. Or email at quack12podcast@gmail.com.
Post your hate on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Just talk mad shit on Adam at facebook.com/... Adam Chimeo.
There you go. Facebook.com. Yeah, my personal one.
Yeah.
Please do that.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. That
was that the history?
Yeah, that's the history.
Do we know any players from that year?
No. 1894? No.
Okay. Well, it seemed like a pretty shitty year anyway, so they probably all became farmers in the end, right?
And in the end, they all became farmers.
Oh.
It's a beautiful ending. All right, you guys. Speaking of beautiful endings, this is over. But please join us. I believe the next episode will be either Monday night or Tuesday night, where we will talk about all those teams that we talked about today and how they did. And we will also talk about Oregon and their first opponent, Southern Utah. Man, I am so freaking excited about this.
And I
Thanks
can't wait to learn. I can't wait to
You
learn.
Can't wait to learn. You won't watch the game, but you can't wait to learn. Sweet, sweet, sweet summer child. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Bye. Well, let's talk some history of Oregon football. Last we left, it was 1983. We had old Cal Young. 1983. Shit. 1893. Fuck.
Okay.
That's bad.